Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The Rocky Mountain News today, anti-abortion camp splits. There is a split in the pro-life community, and it's represented by the president of Colorado Right to Life and the president of Wyoming Right to Life. We will have both of those presidents on this show today to debate the issue of whether or not a woman should be notified that her unborn baby would experience pain during an abortion and whether she should be offered a painkiller for that baby to reduce that pain. So here's today's Rocky Mountain News. Colorado Right to Life is splitting from other Right to Life groups in opposing a congressional bill that would require women to be notified that their unborn baby would experience pain during an abortion. Brian Rohrbaugh, newly elected president of Colorado Right to Life, said it is good to notify women that children are tortured during an abortion, but it's bad to pass a law to offer them a solution, to allow abortions to go on. But Stephen Ertelt, president of Wyoming Right to Life, says Rohrbaugh and Colorado Right to Life are out of step with National Right to Life and other Right to Life organizations. In fact, Ertel is quoted saying, Rohrbaugh's is the lone voice in the wilderness. And that almost sounds biblical. Ertelt and Rohrbaugh will debate the issue at 3 p.m. today on Bob Inyart Live show on KLTT 670 AM. In Colorado Right to Life's press release that started all this, Columbine Dad and newly elected president of Colorado Right to Life is challenging the wisdom of National Right to Life and Senator Sam Brownback's Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act. Any law that ends with, and then you can kill the baby, is an inherently evil law. Quoting Brian Rohrbaugh, the American people deserve the opportunity to hear an honest debate with the nation's largest pro-life organization about why they propose legislation that promotes a kinder, gentler way of killing late-term babies. So now I want to welcome Brian Rohrbaugh. Thank you for being back here.
Thanks for having me.
And let's go to Stephen Ertel, president of Wyoming Right to Life. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Bob, it's good to be with you.
Stephen, I would like to start with you, since Brian has the advantage that the host agrees with Brian. So let's start with a statement why you support this bill.
Well, the reason for supporting the legislation is very simple. This is a bill that provides women information that they're not normally going to get from an abortion center, specifically that when an abortion is done, it's going to cause severe and intense pain for their baby. This is information that they're routinely denied, and it's something that, frankly, is probably going to convince a good number of women not to have an abortion. And we think that reducing abortions, encouraging women to choose life, to choose to keep their baby and carry the pregnancy to term, we think that's a good thing. We think that's something that ought to be celebrated.
All right, Stephen Ertel, President, Wyoming Right to Life. So this hopefully will convince women not to have an abortion. Now, Brian Rohrbaugh, can you explain to us your opposition to this bill?
Well, if that's all the bill said, I wouldn't have opposition to it. If we were going to give women that information and tell them, you're going to torture your baby to death by going through with this procedure, I would agree. It might convince some of them to change their mind.
Okay.
But when you offer a solution and you say, now we can offer you some kind of painkiller for the baby, this creates a profit opportunity for Planned Parenthood. So, of course, they're not opposing it. But also, it takes away the concern from the woman. Now she can say, well, I can go ahead and have the abortion, and my baby won't feel pain. And what I believe will happen is that more abortions will occur because of this bill, because it eases the conscience.
Okay. So, Stephen Ertel, would you like to respond? That's the first accusation, that while your intention is that women will hear that the baby suffers pain, of course, they could hear that from any number of media outlets and on the internet. While the intention is that the woman will hear that the baby will suffer pain, National Right to Life is offering a solution through the abortionist to provide a painkiller for the baby. So why would pro-lifers offer a solution to this horrendous problem?
Well, first of all, let me correct something Brian stated. Planned Parenthood is actually strenuously opposed to the bill, is lobbying against the bill, and has urged members of Congress to oppose it.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. I am going to insert something at this point in this debate. Brian Rohrbaugh is still in studio.
Yes.
Brian, the debate just ended with Stephen Ertelt of Wyoming Right to Life. And we talked about NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, not opposing the bill.
Right. And at the beginning of the show, I pointed out that both NARAL and Planned Parenthood were not going to oppose this bill. And Stephen stated that Planned Parenthood was opposing it vigorously.
And it's interesting that you pointed to me, Stephen's own website. He is the founder of LifeNews.com. And on his website yesterday, there is an article about this issue. In fact, Stephen Ertelt wrote this.
Right.
This is an editorial from the editor.
Yes.
So this is what he said. When Congress considers pro-life bills, Planned Parenthood and NARAL are normally the leading lobbying groups against any legislation that would reduce abortions. Now, you read this.
That's right. I actually read it this morning.
So you got your information from Stephen Ertelt's own website.
I sure did.
Yet the two groups, Planned Parenthood and NARAL, are sitting out when the House votes Wednesday on the fetal pain measure. So Stephen Ertel, in his own editorial, is saying Planned Parenthood and NARAL, they're not fighting it. They're sitting out on the vote. NARAL said in a statement, I'm still reading from his own editorial, NARAL said that it does not plan on opposing the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act. That's been their position since last year. And then he goes on to add this. He says, meanwhile, Planned Parenthood is apparently not taking a position on the measure either. So this is so extraordinary. Many Christian pro-lifers get their news from Stephen Ertelt at LifeNews.com. Well, it turns out that Planned Parenthood is saying they're opposed, but there is nothing on their website, nothing, on a massive website.
And the reason this is important is because during the show, he claimed that I was wrong and that Planned Parenthood was opposing this.
They were fighting it.
Yet my information was his editorial on his website.
Right, okay.
And I think we ought to post this so people can see.
This is going to be part of the record now.
Right.
And Brian, it's going to get more interesting because this debate really gets fascinating when I repeatedly ask Stephen Ertelt some simple questions and the audience could listen and decide, is he willing to answer any of those questions?
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome. Now back to the show.
Well, first of all, let me correct something Brian stated. Planned Parenthood is actually strenuously opposed to the bill, is lobbying against the bill, and has urged members of Congress to oppose it, as has the National Abortion Federation, which is the national trade group of abortion centers. So the abortion industry is squarely in opposition to this legislation, and for good reason. They know that this is going to give women information that they routinely deny them.
Okay, Stephen, you could clarify, perhaps. We have the letter sent out by National Right to Life, and they indicated that NARAL, now Brian said Planned Parenthood, I don't know if he meant NARAL, they said that NARAL, last year, they stated that they would not oppose this legislation, and National Right to Life was presuming that the National Abortion Rights Action League, NARAL, would not oppose this legislation again this year.
Well, NARAL doesn't oppose the legislation. It's taken a neutral stance on the bill last year. It's taken the same stance this year. But it's an anomaly. Most of the pro-abortion groups out there are strong against the bill. And as a matter of fact, 7 or 8 different pro-abortion organizations have sent letters to members of Congress specifically telling them to vote against the bill tomorrow.
Okay, so you have clarified, and thank you. Now the audience knows that one of the leading pro-choice organizations in the country, NARAL, has said they will not oppose the bill. And you're saying that there are other major pro-abortion groups that are opposing the bill.
Okay. It's not just a matter of major pro-abortion groups. It's Planned Parenthood and NAF, who represent 100% of all of the abortion centers in the country. So you have one lobbying group saying they take no position, but you have the actual abortion business, the industry,
right,
the people that are killing the babies saying, we don't want this bill.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. Now on to Brian's statement that it's admirable to tell women that abortion tortures their unborn child, but it is wrong to offer them a solution. The abortionist can give a painkiller to your baby, so it's wrong to offer them a solution to this horrendous problem.
Well, here's the deal, Bob. We have a choice with this bill of one of two situations. The first situation is a woman's going to go to an abortion center down to her local Planned Parenthood. They're not going to give her this information. They're going to lie to her about what an abortion is. They're going to lie to her about the development of their child. The woman's going to go ahead and have the abortion, and her baby is going to die in an excruciating process. The alternative is, and this is what this bill does, is that a woman will go to an abortion center. She'll be handed information put together by the health department showing the latest research about how abortions cause severe and intense pain to their babies. Some women are going to decide not to have an abortion, but if they do have an abortion, at least the baby's not suffering the same kind of traumatic and intensely painful death that they would otherwise. So we've got fewer abortions. We have the provisions for the child, which, you know, after all, I thought as pro-life groups, we were all here trying to look out for babies. We have provisions for the child, certainly a better situation than having women go in cold with no information and almost likely to have that abortion.
Well, Stephen, you said that this will reduce abortions, and I challenge you on that, because when you tell women that your baby will suffer, but we can offer a solution for that, you will have more abortions, and you will ease their conscience, just the way you're easing your own conscience by saying you're doing something good. Any law that ends with, and then you can kill the baby, is a bad law, and your law does that. It says, first, we're going to notify the women of the torture. Second, we're going to offer a solution so the baby doesn't feel pain. And then you can kill the baby. And that's evil.
Well, I would beg to differ with you, because when crisis pregnancy centers show this kind of information to women, tell them about the development of their unborn child, which the bill does specifically give information and say that life begins at the point of fertilization, not at some other point in pregnancy or after birth, as abortion advocates would say. But when crisis pregnancy centers show women this type of information, the research has shown across the board that 90% plus of women choose life for their child. I don't understand why we want to deny women information that might lead them to choose life for their baby.
Stephen, we don't want to deny information of what an abortion really
does. Well, if you're opposing the bill, you're denying
information. No, I'm opposing the bill because it's evil. Now, you just changed the topic here. You said crisis pregnancy centers. We're talking abortion clinics. That's where you can hand out all this good information at a crisis pregnancy center, and they do great work, and we highly support them at Colorado Right to Life. We think they're the greatest, the most successful thing the pro-life movement has to offer. But I'll tell you, when you go to an abortion clinic and you present to women who have already decided they want to kill their baby, that you can make it more palatable by offering pain medicine for having that abortion, you will have more abortions.
Stephen,
you're not going to have more abortions. The women are already going there who are abortion-minded.
You
it's
said
not a
this
matter
will
of putting information out on the public.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Stephen Ertel just said that this information would only be provided to women in the abortion clinic. Well, the act itself, this House Bill 6099, states that this information, it be given via email, it would be given over the telephone. In fact, Section 2902, subsection C2, states this: internet information, the brochure regarding the anesthesia for the baby about to be aborted, that brochure shall be available on the internet website of the Department of Health and Human Services. Also, subsection C3, the brochure may be provided through an email attachment. So, of course, this information would be widely available, publicized, and, of course, it would encourage women to kill their late-term babies, because they no longer need to worry that those babies will suffer pain, because National Right to Life has solved that problem. Now back to the show.
You
it's
said
not a
this
matter
will
of putting information out on the public, persuading them to go to an abortion center to have an abortion. You're talking about a group of people who have already made the trip to the abortion center. Of that group of people, some of them are going to see this information, and a small amount, perhaps, but at least some. It's good enough for one baby, at least. some of those people will decide to have to not have an abortion.
Well, let's look at the other side. What about the people who will get this information and who will say, my biggest concern about having an abortion is I don't want to think about the baby suffering. But now, because of this pro-life bill, I don't have to worry about the baby suffering, and it only costs a little bit more, so now it's a good law, it's something I will do, I will have that abortion. What you should say is abortion is always wrong, it's always murder, and we will oppose anything that tries...
Well, and we certainly do say that.
Not in this law. This law ends, Stephen, just to make it clear to the audience, could you admit that this law then authorizes the killing of a late-term baby?
It doesn't authorize it. The abortion's already authorized. No. That decision's already
okay,
been made.
Okay, let's deal with
what
that, right?
What we're doing
right,
with this law, Stephen, is can we reduce as many abortions
right,
as possible
okay,
until we can get to the point that abortion is stopped.
Okay, let's deal with that right now. Supposing in America there were only two laws. There was Roe v. Wade, which legalizes abortion, and there was this law. Okay, those are the only two laws on the books regarding abortion. And say tomorrow Roe v. Wade is struck down, so it's no longer the law of the land. Then we have only H.R. 6099. That's it. And so this law now says if a woman comes in a late term in pregnancy, the abortionist must notify her of the painkiller option. And if he does, then he could kill the baby. Otherwise, he cannot. Would late term abortion then be legal in America under this bill?
This bill has nothing to do with whether late-term abortion would be legal. If Roe versus Wade is overturned, let me finish. If Roe versus Wade is overturned, that in turn puts the decision in the hands of 50 state legislatures across the country. What they determine is legal or not legal is what happens in those states. This bill has nothing to do with that.
Stephen, I'd like you to answer the question again. Okay, we have two laws, Roe v. Wade and H.R. 6099. I got it right here in my hands. H.R. 6099 says that an abortionist cannot perform a late-term abortion unless he notifies the woman of the pain option. If he offers her pain medication for the baby, then he could perform the abortion. So if Roe v. Wade is overturned, would judges look at this law and say, according to H.R. 6099, federal law, late-term abortion in America is legal as long as the abortionist notifies the woman of the pain option?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's false.
Let me answer the question. If you have 50 states, Roe versus Wade is overturned. Let's just say for the sake of argument, 20 of those states put in new laws prohibiting abortions. In the 30 states that do not have those laws, those 30 states that would allow legalized late-term abortions at that point, this federal bill would still apply to those states where at least those women would get that information in those particular states, providing them information,
Stephen,
about what happens.
This law, I think you should be able to say, Bob, yes, this law would keep late-term abortion legal.
Well, I can't say that because it's not true, Bob.
This law has a preemption section. Do you know what the preemption section says?
Bob, this law has been looked at by leading pro-life attorneys from a number of groups. It has no conflict in terms of whether or not a law or a Supreme Court decision would come down after the fact to make abortion illegal or to allow states to do that.
Stephen
Ertel, there's absolutely no conflict in that at all.
Do you know what the preemption section says in this act?
Yes, I do, and there's absolutely no conflict with what you're talking about.
What does it say? Okay, I want to suggest to you that you read Section 4, preemption of this act, because this act, if Roe v. Wade were overturned tomorrow, this act would keep late-term abortion legal because it authorizes an abortionist to continue with an abortion on a late-term fetus as long as he complies with the regulation of the act.
Only if those abortions are legal in the first place.
That's not true. Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, now Stephen Ertelt has just claimed that this act does not authorize, it doesn't legitimize, it doesn't reauthorize the killing of a late-term baby unless such a late-term abortion is already legal in a particular state. Now, I have just reread the entire act, all 23 pages, and there is not a single word, there's not a section, a subsection, nothing that says that the abortionist can only kill this child if abortion is already legal. even that would be perverse to say that, but there's nothing in this bill that says that. And when you regulate a procedure, you also legitimize the procedure and you authorize or reauthorize the procedure. So I'm going to quote to you from a couple sections of this bill. This is House Bill 6099 and Section 2902, Requirement of Informed Consent. This section gives to the woman the right to consent to receive information or get a painkiller for her unborn child during an abortion. Let me read from this section, 2902. Requirement of compliance by providers. Any abortion provider shall comply with the requirements of this title before any part of an abortion involving a pain-capable unborn child begins. Do you get that? Before any part of an abortion involving a pain-capable unborn child begins, the abortion provider shall provide the pregnant woman with the information described in paragraph 2. Now, a federal judge is the one who would interpret this. And if Roe v. Wade was overturned and Planned Parenthood went to court and said it is legal to perform late-term abortions in America under House Bill 6099 as long as we comply with the requirements of the act. And the judge would say, how do you know that? It says right here in Section 2902 that any abortion provider shall comply with the requirements of this title. And then it says, subsection B, paragraph 1, before any part of an abortion involving a pain-capable unborn child begins, the abortion provider shall provide the pregnant woman with the information described in paragraph 2. Now let's continue. Subsection B2, paragraph 5, administration of anesthesia. If the abortion provider is not qualified or willing to administer the anesthesia, the provider shall, now listen to this. This is what we talk about when we say when they regulate the killing of unborn children, they are reauthorizing, they are legitimizing. Legitimize means to declare legally valid. They are authorizing again and again the killing of unborn children. And this is why abortion will remain legal if Roe v. Wade is overturned because of the hundreds of ill-advised pro-life laws that have been passed. Here we go. If the abortion provider is not qualified or willing to administer the anesthesia, the provider shall, one, arrange for a qualified specialist to administer such anesthesia, or two, advise the pregnant woman where she may obtain such anesthesia for the unborn child in the course of an abortion. Okay, this is what this law states. This absolutely authorizes late-term abortion. If Roe v. Wade is struck down and this law were the only law of the land, there are hundreds of federal judges who would read this and say, well, as long as the abortionist complies with these requirements, then of course it's legal in federal law for them to provide the anesthesia and the abortion. That's what this law requires. I'll read it again. If the abortion provider is not qualified or willing to administer the anesthesia, the provider shall, one, arrange for a qualified specialist to administer such anesthesia. Administer anesthesia to who? To the unborn baby. To do what? To kill the baby. To reduce the pain. That's what this bill is reauthorizing. And what's even worse, this could apply in states where they have outlawed abortion. This could supersede that because this is federal law and our federal judiciary is radically pro-abortion. They could use this law to bring back late-term abortions in various states. So it says, if the abortion provider is not willing to administer the anesthesia, the provider shall arrange for anesthesia, or two, advise the pregnant woman where she may obtain such anesthesia for the unborn child in the course of an abortion. Of course, this absolutely authorizes this late-term abortion. The law says you cannot do a late-term abortion unless you comply with these regulations. Every judge in the land would see that, of course, it also says if the first abortionist won't do the anesthesia, then he shall advise the pregnant woman where she may obtain the anesthesia and the abortion. That's in the law. And then also there's a definition section of this law, and it has its own tragic wording. Section 2901, paragraph 2, abortion provider. The term abortion provider means any person legally qualified to perform an abortion. And then paragraph 4, the term probable age of development means the duration of development after fertilization of the unborn child at the time an abortion is performed. Do you get that? At the time an abortion is performed as determined in the good faith of the abortionist. How's that? So this is pro-lifers further entrenching child killing in federal law and authorizing, in fact, even requiring, if one abortionist will not provide this, then that abortionist will be required by law to arrange for anesthesia for the unborn baby, or required by this law to advise the pregnant woman where she may obtain such anesthesia for the unborn child in the course of an abortion. So the claims just made by the president of Wyoming Right to Life, Stephen Ertelt, are flatly not true. This act does not say that this only applies if late-term abortion is already legal in a particular state. And it also does. It does authorize. Of course it does. When you regulate a procedure or a process, you are authorizing or reauthorizing, you are legitimizing that process. Now let's return to the debate between Brian Orbaugh and Stephen Ertelt of Wyoming Right to Life.
Only if those abortions are legal in the first place.
That's not true.
Yeah, it doesn't say that. And there are many pro-life attorneys who look at bills like this and warn us that these things entrench abortion.
Okay, for the time constraint, I'm going to pause us as we conclude this program, but you could tune in to the next show where we will continue the debate between Colorado Right to Life and the support for National Right to Life coming from Wyoming Right to Life. So that'll be interesting. Also, you can catch this in its entirety on our website, KGOV, that's KGOV.com. Remember, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. And also, this is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. May God bless you.